Bonus episode, season 4, episode 13. The Count Von Count and his cape. The team discuss the casualized work phenomenon introduced by the management of distributed work and the advent of remote video call meetings. Trage discloses one of his secret nicknames. Sarah shares a junk food gem. Alan discusses the confrontation, the unfriendly and alarming case of arrest, and the strength of force. He tells a story of the arrest of a sole parent. In this episode, a special visit is made by a loyal subscriber, Carmen Mitchell, as she delivers her magic artwork, charcoal and white pen drawings of the stag, that's me, the owl, and rascal otter, that's Sarah, to celebrate the team spirit animals discussed in season 2. Thank you very much for listening to the Why Work podcast, and before you know it, we'll be back with season 5. But if you haven't listened to any of the others, do it now. Hello and welcome to the Why Work podcast series. You are listening to Trace Vitkovsky, Sarah Pazell, and Alan Girl.
Did you really need to go look that up?
I think employees have a right to know, because you're paying your bills. They have a right to know what you're doing at work,
at home,
in terms of performance, and in terms of what you're doing.
It was the performance word that just took me over the edge. It was the performance word. You know that?
How are you performing? So this leads me into a burning topic of Sarah's, the erosion of boundaries.
And look, how about this?
What is an erosion of a boundary? Well, I don't mean in the geographical sense when somebody cuts too close to your boundary without permission, suddenly your yard erodes. What do you mean by erosion of boundaries working from home?
Like the appropriate work behaviors is what I was just mentioning. So we've heard stories about people being fired because of unusual acts that they forgot to turn their video off while they're in a team meeting. Right?
Wasn't there a judge or something in South America?
There was a solicitor. Yeah, who was with his client at the time in the middle of proceedings by remote, who was engaged in some fun activity.
She got professionals engaged.
And caught on film, something to that effect.
Oh, that's right. There was a lawyer in South America.
Yes. South American, was it?
Erosion of boundary. I've also heard nothing as provocative as titillating as that. I recently attended a CPD, again, involving appearances, and in many of the courts, a lot of on virtual Zoom appearances.
Optics of appearances, right. Okay.
This is what I'm leading to, the optics of appearances. And even post-COVID, it's still a good habit now. It's a good way to deal with a lot. Because, with federal jurisdiction, you might be in Brisbane doing a bankruptcy matter. You're linking in with someone in Sydney and so on and so forth. Interestingly, a remark made by a member of the court, a senior registrar, was that people have forgotten sometimes, when I say people, lawyers, that they're on a Zoom and they're not, in terms of court etiquette, appearances and announcing. So that's casualized.
Casualized.
That's right. And that's an interesting...
And what about, we've talked about, ghosting people. We've talked about that in episodes and we've talked about the icons, little avatars that you choose. At what point have you casualized it too much that you offend someone? And what about... If you have a distributed workforce and you need to, quote unquote, engage in some management of performance that is not necessarily coaching. I prefer performance management to be about positive coaching. But when people use that term, sometimes they use, we're going to reprimand an employee and set some limits on behaviors that we're no longer happy with. Or if you fire an employee by a Teams or Zoom meeting, right? How confronting is that? Who's there to help pick up the pieces if you're
people have been fired by text.
Whether it's in a personal relationship or a work relationship,
but
right?
But there's several employees, or several hundred, possibly 1,200 employees, one simple mass text for traffic control workers, sorry, job's out.
I just Googled, firing people by Zoom, and here's a story. First thing that pops up, a man sacked 800 staff in a creepy Zoom call.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
CEO Vishal Garg. 800 staff over a Zoom call. It lasted 3 minutes. Boom, baby.
Alan, your avatars are always interesting.
Well, imagine if you got fired by an avatar. Appeared in court.
we've seen a cartoon
character appeared in court.
I've seen a few of those. But the thing is, AI
It's big. It's changing.
AI things. Could fire somebody, that's I suppose. Right.
Come up with the right language. Here, dear AI, I wish to fire Alan Girl. Yeah. What language shall I use?
Get your boss to do AI to do the corporations.
Or could AI appear in court?
Yeah. Then we wouldn't be having this conversation about
work. Oh, lawyers are out of job now. Watch out.
So, you know, when the callover happens, it'll be, hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri. What's the legal precedent for X, Y, and Z? And which cases, the research, yeah. right? Which cases have this already been relevant Siri. To?
Hey, Siri. No, hey, my name's Siri. But yeah, first of all, before we continue, I know we focus so much on the letter C in season 2023. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this out there. We can play with this. Season 2024. Now, I sound like The Count, except with letters instead of numbers. People say I used to look like The Count of Sesame Street.
That's Sesame Street, The Count. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
You do look a bit
gosh.
Like The Count.
Oh, no. You said that. No, I'll never do that.
It's gonna stick.
Oh, man.
One,
you know what I need for Christmas
two,
to portray is a cape.
Three.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You are The Count. How could you tell us that now?
Hold
never...
on a second. Do you have a cape at home?
I do.
I got to ask. I'm not sure.
Don't go there. Just finish talking. Don't go there.
That's exactly. See, Alan looks at me and that's where my mind goes. What happens with that cape? When that cape comes on.
When does the cape come out? Don't tell us.
Don't tell us.
Look.
And did it come out with the first and the second wife or just the second wife?
For the record.
Renee.
There's only one Renee. Look. Okay.
Does she wear a cape too?
Again, I probably have to get permission. So I usually don't give permission. She won't care, right? If I told you the truth or not. Listen, we've focused a lot on the letter C. And I know this sounds like a Sesame Street episode. I would like to bring to the table the letter M.
Well, let me start with men in uniform.
Yeah, go on. Tell us about men in uniform. Right.
Save your M. Hold your
save
M.
M for the last.
Let's go to the M.
You're
going to
love this M.
Okay.
All right, throw it in.
No,
on.
I feel like some M&Ms. No, I'll wait till the end. Well, I do feel
no,
like some
M&Ms.
No,
I can't now. Tell us what the M is.
Any M&Ms? You've not got any vending machine?
I have a friend in the US, Brent Oldenburg, right? And he's an ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
All the H's in there. Ophthalmologist. Right. The surgeon, eye doctor guy.
Yeah.
And I was at a movie and I was going solo. It's like my newfound freedom. Yeah, you go solo to a movie sometimes. It's like, wow.
That's weird.
And then... That's not weird. You go try it. You'll get a whole nother different experience,
find
right?
Some friends.
So
anyway.
What's weird is when I started laughing, I did this one time. I was like laughing and almost slapping the guy next to me. Yeah. He's looking at me like, I'm sorry. Anyway, so this is in California, out of the blue. Brent comes and sits next to me. But we didn't know we were both in the same movie. It took me a moment. He had his daughter at the time. And I looked over. I'm like, Brent? Hey. And then... You know what caught my attention, what made me even bother to look, is I see this guy with his hot buttered popcorn pouring M&Ms over his popcorn.
Cool. Wow.
And
I go, like it.
And that's what made me think of it, right? The quest for M&Ms. I'm looking at him like, oh my gosh. And then the chocolate just melts
on the popcorn.
And he's like, I'm like, hey.
Rainbow colored popcorn.
I saw it and he's like, here, try some. I'm like, oh, I've got a new, you know, that's right. The rites of passage, you go to the movies, you get the junk food.
So M&Ms clearly he's an eye doctor and not a dentist.
Boom. Okay, you started a trend.
This was years ago, but cool. I can't get that out of my head now.
I'm going to save my letter M till the end. I want to hear about your
many uniform. Or mum. Mum. There you go.
Oh, tell us.
Mia.
Again, I'll give you the principle first and then talk about the details. So at least in Queensland, there's been a fair bit of publicity in the media about police officers exercising powers of arrest and how they go about exercising it. And in fact, I've just completed a case about the police arresting my client.
Mm.
And I think there's probably a perception in the community and one that I can relate to about the police using excessive power. And this is something that's only happened 20 days ago. It was all filmed, so I think at least as much as what I've seen has to be true.
And just if anyone's doubting, this is why work and the police are working.
They're
just
working.
Everything we talk about in this show relates to some type of work extension, so they're working.
Yep. And also as a bit of a backdrop to it as well, for people that are old enough and they remember the Fitzgerald Inquiry, around about that point in time, we introduced changes into the law so that police didn't have to arrest as much.
Name of the Act, Alan?
So that's Police Powers and Responsibilities Act, and the bit that was introduced was notices to appear. So they could give you a piece of paper which required you to turn up at court and answer to a charge.
They say that act again.
Police Powers and Responsibilities
Act. 1997, I believe.
There you go.
And that was to avoid this sort of conflict and their safety.
Yeah,
and
so that there was no need to arrest people and take them down to the station and charge them down at the station. You could just give them a piece of paper which says you've got to turn up at court. And
a little more dignity around that, assuming you trust they're going to show up.
Less confrontation.
Yeah.
And also there was a practice back then which seems to be developing again now of what's called arresting a person and de-arresting. And just to explain how that works, arresting, you take them from, in my case, it was out of a car, or my client's case, out of a car, put handcuffs on them, and then do what you need to do, which, of course, is enormously humiliating.
Traumatic.
Very traumatic and dangerous. It's dangerous. For everyone involved, not just the person being arrested, but also the police.
Yes.
And then you can de-arrest, which what that means is you take the handcuffs off and you tell the person they're no longer under arrest. Now, that was a practice that was considered bad in the Fitzgerald days, something that had to be addressed because it was being abused back in the Fitzgerald days, and there's a risk it will be abused again now.
Yeah.
Anyway, to our case that happened 20 days ago, what happened was a single mother had gone to the petrol station and bought $58 worth of petrol, and she'd driven off without realising she hadn't paid.
And can I just pause on that? There's a term that my girlfriend uses and I've adopted it and it's quite strong and empowering. It's sole parent.
Sole parent.
It's a different connotation, you know, the strength of a sole parent versus some of the social connotation around single moms, right? So the sole parent, right? Sole parent.
So the term was single mum in the media, yes.
That's okay. Right. I'm just making a point of that little ad because you keep going. So she's forgotten to pay, or skipped it, or who knows.
There's some sort of 7-Eleven connected with the petrol station. Yeah. I made a mistake. She did attempt to pay. She went in with her phone and tried to Apple Pay, and it must have somehow not worked. And then she left.
So she thought it paid.
She thought she paid.
What?
Right. It's reasonable.
Now, you're asking for confessions. I've done it myself where I've got distracted thinking about other things and driven off without paying. And I know what happens is you get a text from the police saying, you haven't paid for your fuel. Get down there and pay. If you pay within the next 24 hours, we won't take any further action.
So you've driven away. Yeah.
I've driven away and then I've got that text. And, of course, I've been hugely embarrassed and driven straight back to the petrol station and paid immediately.
Hear that?
Cash?
That's the sound of cash. Cash is
king. Are you covering people's fuel bills if they forget?
No,
what's that offer?
No, it's all about me, and I'm ultra paranoid that could happen to me, so I carry cash.
Right. So
anyway, so something happened for this poor single mother that she didn't return and didn't pay the $58.
Oh.
And so then things progressed. Now, this is where it gets even more interesting is two men in uniform turn up, or police officers turn up at her home.
Were they male? You said police officers, to clarify. Yes. They were male, okay.
And then they, certainly in the footage, they look like men.
Right.
And I hope I don't get into trouble for saying that. But they did, for me, they looked like they were male officers based on the uniform they were wearing. And she was in her underwear. She had a T-shirt on and underpants. Yeah, I know that because I could see it in the footage. They then arrested her.
Wait, so she answered the door like that?
She answered the door like that.
Okay.
And then
so I would just pause and put shorts on, I'm just saying. But anyway, okay.
Well, whatever happened in the interaction between her and the police, she didn't end up putting on any pants or tracksuit pants or a skirt. I'm sure there's another part to the story where the police have their reasons as to why she didn't get more clothes on.
And they didn't permit her to do so.
She says she was not permitted to do so.
Right.
Okay. Now, she had a 12-year-old daughter, and the 12-year-old daughter realised things were going wrong and started to film on her phone.
Ooh.
And so she captured it on her phone.
Ooh, the power of this digital media in everybody's hands.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
And the police officers were aware that there was a 12-year-old girl and didn't put in place any arrangements to make sure that the 12-year-old was safe.
which so I think she left the 12-year-old at home by themselves?
On her own, yes.
Yet the trauma of watching her mother get hauled away by a police car. Okay, that's profound.
I've seen the footage, and she is clearly resisting arrest. She's screaming, she's pulling back, and the police officers drag her away. And, of course, the 12-year-old got to see it.
Oh.
Very, very traumatic. And, of course, all the neighbours in it was a block of units. All the neighbours in the block of unit would have heard it.
For a fine of how much? $58 or something?
Well, that's how much he hadn't paid, $58. And then
this is a good ending to this story.
She said she was resisting because she was scared. And I can understand that. You're being dragged away. You've never had any interactions with the police before. And all of a sudden you're being dragged away away from your daughter.
Your child's watching.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, certainly, you know, when one thinks of the terms being in hysterics, just being heightened, just being, I think, quite frankly, reacting from what you've told me so far in a very normal way.
And so for all we know right now, she's thinking, what is this from? I have paid. How would she, unless she purposely tried to scam and not process the Apple Pay or whatever, if we just take it on face value, she would assume that she's paid and wouldn't have any cause for this arrest in her mind.
Even if she deliberately
scammed the system
of $58, in my mind, that's not an appropriate arresting someone, physically arresting someone.
We used to have vagrant scamming and other offences app and minor things. These were appalling laws back in the day around the Fitzgerald Inquiry, where if you, for example, didn't have $20 on your persons, you'd be shot straight to the watch house. And, of course, certain lower socioeconomic persons of certain areas wouldn't have that, and they were targeted. So these were really, really weird times in Queensland. But, Alan, where are we going with this story? So,
pulled away, taken down to the station.
Yes.
The story, we don't know from the story whether the police officers drove her back home or whether she had to find her own way. It would be common for someone who's been arrested and then released to find their own way home. And if you're in a T-shirt and underpants, you know, it's not a great situation.
So was anyway, this so recent story?
I don't know that they ever progressed with charges, which might be because current affair investigated it.
It became a story, and there's video evidence.
Yeah, but it seemed as though it was standard practice. I think, you know, particularly based on the case that I run, this is happening in Queensland. People are being arrested. And if you are being arrested, whatever you do, don't resist arrest. You just have to go along with the police and deal with it afterwards.
And it's so hard, isn't it? Because you've got very difficult economic times. And then you've got, like you said earlier, Trej, about this the Wizard of Oz, this point of authority, right? Versus, come on, some reasonable, rational evaluation of a situation.
Yep.
It's interesting because ultimately that's a work, that's a service, and you wonder, put that in the context of any other work setting, would that be deemed to be acceptable or reasonable behaviour based on
the $58? Well, just if you were thinking about the protection of the police officers, any physical interaction has the potential to hurt a police officer. So,
absolutely.
So I would have thought you want to minimise the number of times that you have a physical interaction.
So you're saying, why didn't they just serve a notice and see
you? Why didn't they just give her a notice to appear?
Fascinating story.
And, you know, you don't want to disparage some of the great work done by some officers, and some yet these officers, stories will stand out and perpetuate these ideas and that gets perpetuated when you're looking at some bad instances, unfortunately.
I'm a big believer that the system controls behaviour. So, you know, the police officers are doing what they're taught to do. I don't think that people are naturally bad. I don't think police officers are naturally bad. No, they're doing what they're told.
Cultural
their job
norms,
is to do.
Tribal cultures, and culture norms, and leadership. Right.
And as I understand that Police Powers and Responsibilities Act, the idea was to improve overall at that top down level, like the culture of the police service. The rumor, the advertisements. There are a couple of bad apples. You know, in a couple of rotten apples in a basket. They used all of these metaphors and various things. So
Trej, if you're ever get that knock on your front door and you check through the peak hole and you see a couple of police officers,
put some pants on.
For goodness sakes, take that cape off.
That cape and the undies. Well, all right, the cape and the undies. Make sure you've got that full kit out.
Answer the door in your underpants.
I can tell you now, by extending that story, that'll never happen to me because Cash money. It'll give me. So I'll never not pay for my petrol, and I'll never get arrested.
I want to see the video where the cops arrive and he's got the cape on. I need to see that video. Yes.
Three. Dropped in and kindly enjoyed lunch with us today. Carmen, introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, Trade Carmen here. Carmen Mitchell. What do you want me to tell you about myself?
Well, for those who are wondering, why on earth have we had first guest speaker? impromptu guest speaker. We've never planned it. We have had a very special person today, and that person is none other than Carmen, the artist.
Carmen the artist.
Carmen the artist of three various animal spirits.
Spirit animals.
Spirit animals. Yay. The stag, the rascal, and the hoot. So the stag is a stag, isn't it?
Charcoal picture?
It's,
yeah.
Well, they're white charcoal and white ink on black paper. And the stag is for Trade. The owl is for Alan.
Owlin.
Owlin. Hoot hoot. And the otter is for playful, rascally Sarah.
The rascal. So these are our spirit animals that we talked about in season one. And Carmen's just done a superb job to depict these characters, these animalia forms. Thank you so much, Carmen.
Oh, it was a pleasure. It was beautiful doing it.
Indeed. And, but I think it was episode 14, season two.
Glad you know.
That's it. Trainspotter Trade is in the house. So thank you very much, Carmen. Those who are wondering what the heck are we talking about, you will see pictures on our site of these wonderful pieces of artwork by Carmen, who is not only a fully functional professional in her own right, but also a very, very talented artist and visual creator.
Yes, that's my shadow side.
The shadow side. If you want to find out what Carmen's spirit animal is, well, you'll have to directly message her. Thank you for dropping in.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure. Okay.
You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you really enjoyed this show, share this with a friend. Submit your 5-star rating on your favourite podcast streaming service. Keep listening and send in your stories. You can email us at hello@ywork.com.au. And of course, sign in to our newsletter. You can head straight to our website at www.ywork.com.au. We can't wait to learn about the trouble you've seen in the workplace. And remember, none of the things we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we do. We love it. See you next time. You
take a fall. Mirror, mirror on the wall, into different destinies.